It says that God works all things together for good to them that love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He's able to take the good and the bad. He mixes it together, and he makes something beautiful for his glory. So to God be the glory. How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hold to be, yeah, I owe it all right now to thee.
My Redeemer, He lives. Tonight, Lord Jesus, we thank you and we give you praise. God bless you. Thank you for joining us this evening. At the last minute, we decided, Minister Julia and I decided to serve communion. So you can run and get your juice and your bread or crackers and bring it to the phone. You'll have time. So that we can honor God with this verse. Gatekeepers Ministry International Broadcast 1023. The Lord said, bring it in with worship. And that's what we are, worshipers. That's who my guest is. She's a worship leader and she's a worshiper. She doesn't just worship in public, but she's a worshiper in private. And that's what we all need to be. I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Cazares. I'm honored to come to you this evening. I don't take it lightly that God has continued to give me this platform. Thank him, and I give him all the praise. I bless his holy name. I remember some years ago, oh, it must have been around 2013 or 14, and the Lord told me to use one specific social media that I had never been on before. I didn't get on Facebook until after I authored a book and my publisher thought that I should be on Facebook, and that wasn't until 2018. But years before that, the Lord said, I want you to get on this social media, and everybody I lead you to, I want you to ask them this question. What is your definition of a gatekeeper? A gatekeeper is not just any old title to throw around. And I didn't really know at that time what a gatekeeper is. And I'm kind of getting the drift that Satan knows what a gatekeeper is. And if you're a gatekeeper, you're going to get warfare from him. So at that time, I really didn't know what a gatekeeper was. God had just given me the name to the ministry or the title to the ministry. And so I began on a social media asking questions. And a lot of the people that I was, whose page I was going on, I didn't know who they were. I didn't know their picture, their faces, their names, or anything. But the Lord was leading me, and that was the question I asked. What is your definition of a gatekeeper? And I got over 500 responses. And it was when I got the responses that I knew that some of these people were bishops and apostles, prophets and evangelists and teachers. And I was more than honored that they took the time to return a response to me. They didn't even know me. And this was on LinkedIn, which is more like a business social media. And so many of them sent me 4 and 5 paragraphs of what a gatekeeper is. And some of them said that a gatekeeper is handpicked by God. And was I humbled at that point? It's not one of the fivefold ministries, but the gatekeeper is a ministry that only God can give you. And one particular bishop said to me, and like I said, I didn't know who these people were, because on their profile, they didn't have their church title. But when they returned a response to my question, what is your definition of a gatekeeper? They let me know that they were a bishop or an apostle or a prophet or a teacher. And they took the time to explain to me their definition of a gatekeeper. And I was so honored that they did that. And the Lord, only he knew that I was going to get those responses. Parents are gatekeepers and probably don't even know it. When you get to a point in your walk with God and he looks at you and this is who he sees you as, like he saw Gideon as a warrior. He saw Linda as a gatekeeper. And as I'm sitting here thinking, is this why my battles are so tough? But I give God all the praise, honor, and glory. And one of the bishops says, you're not just going to be Gatekeepers Ministry. You're going to be Gatekeepers Ministry International. And the Lord told me he was going to take this ministry international, and he did. All over the world, this broadcast goes on demand within 15 or 20 minutes after we end every broadcast. And most of the people in other countries, they can't dial in, but they can go on demand. And when they do, there's a map that I could look at to see where they went on demand from, what country they're from. And I might have some time, not sure, I might have some time to call out the different nations. Maybe I will, I'm not sure. But anyway, I give God all the glory, honor, and praise tonight. I don't even usually broadcast on a Tuesday night. But my friend Julia is very special to me. God led our paths to cross through the anointing power of the Holy Spirit and through obedience. And we met because we were both in maybe the secular world calls it a support group. I don't know what we would call it, but we just gathered in his name concerning similar or identical concerns that we have as godly women, preachers, ministers. And God has used her to edify me, to encourage me, to build me up, to minister to me. And I love her dearly. And I always say, I'm not looking for no new friends. I'm too old for this. But when God brings someone in your life that doesn't know you for a little bit, but gets to know you, and they attach themselves to you because the Holy Spirit says so, then you know that you have a lifetime friend. So I count Julia as a lifetime friend. Hallelujah. And I don't speak lightly of that. She's a powerful woman of God. So I'm honored to have you on the broadcast tonight. This is the first broadcast of the year, and what better topic but to worship. Again, I'm going to say, if you don't have your elements for communion, go get some juice, a piece of bread or a cracker, because before Julia comes on to speak, before I introduce her, we're going to serve communion. She's going to blow the shofar, and we're going to serve communion. And I just feel like that's appropriate. I take communion during the week, and I just feel like it, especially from the kind of a text that I have. So I'm sure most of you that have called in tonight, which is more than a few, I appreciate you. I love you. And I give God all the praise, honor, and glory for you tonight. This is an exceptional broadcast, and I have believed that God was going to draw his people in to worship. Not just to lift up our hands in worship, but to hear what worship is truly about. You know, everybody can't worship God. We can say, thank you, Jesus, praise you, Lord, and stuff like that. But only someone that is a true born-again believer can worship God. Hallelujah. He receives our worship. So let's go to the throne of grace right now. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach, Adonai Elohim Abba, we come before you and we thank you. I humble myself before you tonight, Lord God, and I thank you for being patient with me and getting back on this cast and to give you glory, to give you honor, and to give you praise. I thank you for all that you brought us through in 2022. Unexpected warfare, turmoil, storms, tsunamis, volcanoes, earthquakes. Lord, I'm not talking about out here in the world. I'm talking about in our lives. Things that the devil brought through at us, aimed at us, targeted us, that you held back, that you went before us and guarded us, that you are our rear guard from every fiery dart of the wicked, that you are our mindset, your crown of thorns that pierced your head, helped our minds to be stayed on you, helped us to remain in our right minds. My God, hallelujah, there's so many people out here that it's okay with them to be employed by the devil. He pays nothing. He pays absolutely nothing. He gives no wages for people to work for him. Hallelujah. But to live for God brings great dividends. And we give you praise. Hallelujah. To live for God ushers in holy angels to be encamped around us, warring angels to war in the heavenlies on our behalf. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. You kept us from all accidents, hurts, harm, and danger. Our children, our grandchildren, seen and unseen. Hallelujah. You've granted us favor from on high. Favor in our homes. Favor upon our children. Favor upon our grandchildren. We thank you and we give you praise. You didn't allow the hurricanes to overtake us. You didn't allow the hailstorms to beat us down. You didn't allow the fire to consume us. Lord, we thank you and we give you praise. You didn't let the weapons formed against us prosper. You brought us through 2022. We thank you. I thank you. And I give you praise. Hallelujah. It was a tough year for me. And you helped me to hold my head up. You blessed me with friends, Lord, that kept me company, that listened to my heart. Thank you. We give you praise. Hallelujah. We bless your name. You beat back the forces of darkness on our behalf.
You helped us, Lord, to walk in the light as you are in the light and to have fellowship with you in spite of what we've gone through. Thank you. We've pressed our way through 2022. We've pressed our way through financial difficulty, through poor health diagnoses. We've pressed our way through lies and scandal. We've pressed our way, hallelujah, Lord Jesus, from every attack of the enemy. We pressed our way, Lord God. You shielded us. You surrounded us like a shield, like your word in Psalm 3 says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Calling upon your name, you answered us. And you showed us great and mighty things, even through the press. We give you praise. We owe it to you, Lord. We owe you all the praise, all the worship, all the honor, all the glory. Now strengthen us, Lord, at the beginning of this year. Build us up, Lord God, hallelujah, for the rest of this year, the next 11 months. Pour out your spirit upon us, Lord God, hallelujah. Encamp your holy angels around us, Lord. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us into all truth. We thank you. And use us, most of all. Use us for your glory. Give us a burden for souls like never before. That we would not just confess Christ, but we would walk like Christ. We thank you, Lord, for transforming us into your image. Adonai Elohim, we thank you for looking upon us with your mercy and your grace. Right now, Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for our sins. We ask, God, that anything, Lord God, that's in our heart right now, that we would search our hearts right now. And, Lord, that you would forgive us for anything that's not like you that would be there. Any thoughts, any words, any actions, any deeds. I ask, Lord, that you would forgive me of my sins. Wash us in the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We humble ourselves right now. And, Lord, we desire to be clean before you. Not just sharp and looking good on the outside, but to be clean on the inside, to have clean hands and pure hearts. Make us like that, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I pray the prayer of repentance with everybody so that we would be prepared for communion. And right now, I want you to get your elements. And I'm going to read from Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our sorrows. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded by our transgressions. Let's say, but he was wounded for my transgressions. Let's say that. He was wounded for my transgressions. Let's say, he was bruised for my iniquities. He was bruised for my iniquities. Let's say, the chastisement of my peace was upon him. Again, the chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by his stripes, I am healed. Let's say that together. And by his stripes, I am healed. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord Jesus, and we thank you. We give you praise. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat the bread or the cracker, whatever you have. Thank you, Jesus. We remember you and your broken body. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take the cup and drink. Often as you drink this, eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. God, we thank you. And we give you praise. Now I'm going to open Julia's mic so she can blow the shofar. Julia. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, that was a shofar, a ram's horn. If you've never heard it before, you heard it tonight. And I have mine here, but Julia is the speaker. She's going to bring us into worship. And I really wanted her to blow her shofar. So we give God all the praise, honor, and glory. I've already said a little bit about Julia, and she's been on many, many of my broadcasts for years, but I've never really given her the introduction that she deserves. And at other times, I've introduced her as my sister in Christ and some things we've been involved in together. And but I'm going to read to you her bio to just honor her in who she is. Julia is from Springfield, Illinois, and a graduate of Purdue University. When I saw that, I was blessed because my dad used to teach at Purdue University. With a Bachelor of Science degree in aviation technology, she initially worked as a corporate pilot and set up a flight training school, then later joined the family business, which manufactured specialized aircraft hardware, supplying to manufacturers with Boeing, Lockheed Martin, and the military, working in the business for 25 years. Julia was first born again at age 14 and rededicated her life to the Lord while in college in 1982. She was mentored by her beloved mother and best friend, who taught her the importance of communing with the Father by offering the first 6 minutes of every hour in prayer. She conducted mobile church services for the elderly for 12 years through her church. She was also an online missionary, sharing the gospel with people around the world through global media outreach for several years. She feels strongly that the calling, gifts, and destiny of each believer in the body of Christ must merge and be encouraged to develop. She sees the Father as raising up a holy remnant to be his end time army, who are passionate about loving God and mankind while being fierce in their faith. Hallelujah. Standing against the works of darkness. Her greatest personal passion is worship, and believes it is an integral part of spiritual warfare. She believes loving, knowing, and living in communion with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is the single highest privilege, honor, and responsibility known to man. Julia founded Global Awakening Prayer, an online prayer ministry, in 2017. That's when we met. And with a mandate from the Lord to gather believers from the nations to pray specifically and strategically regarding the most critical issues we are facing in the world today, she especially focuses on human rights abuse, such as the technology experimentation and torture with electromagnetic weapons of targeted individuals and satanic ritual abuse. Julia has led worship in church, home gatherings, and in prisons. She composes the music released to her from heaven, believing the purest worship we can offer is given from the Holy Spirit. She believes spontaneous, prophetically inspired music connects us deeply to the Father and promotes healing in the body and soul, releasing the song of the Father's heart back to him and to the hearer. She believes the outpouring of God's glory is connected to the sounds and frequencies of heaven released through his people to shift atmospheres of darkness, break bondages, and provide an environment for his miraculous power to flow. Julia ministers through worship, teaching, preaching, and counseling with the primary focus to raise up believers, especially those who are targeted, to know their true identity, walking in the overcoming power and kingdom authority of Jesus Christ that transforms our lives individually and as a body, coming into the fullness of mature sons and daughters prepared to meet our King. Hallelujah. That's who my friend is. Hallelujah. And I give God all the praise, honor, and glory. Julia, I love you. I know you're one of the five wives. I believe everybody with the right intentions, with a heart to love like God loves, agape love, that's sold out to Jesus Christ like you are, my sister, my friend, whose candle is lit, the Holy Spirit is just bursting through them, men and women. We're all part of the remnant. So, Julia Thompson, your mic is open. I'm honored and blessed to have you on the broadcast tonight. I thank God for leading me to you regarding this topic. And the rest is all yours. God bless you.
Thank you, Linda. Oh, my gosh. I'm just so excited to start your Gatekeepers broadcast, the first one of the year with worship, and it's such an honor to be with you, and I love you too. You are such a powerful woman of God. I mean, talk about fierce faith. That's Linda. And so it's just a tremendous joy to be here. And yeah, worship really is my greatest passion. I think of all the things that have been transforming for me, I love the word. I love the word. I'm always talking about the importance and the value of the word of God. But I love to couple that with the worship of God because, you know, his promises are wonderful. But when we actually come into his presence, there's something so supernatural that happens. There's an exchange. And, you know, before I start talking, if it's okay with you, Linda, before I start talking about worship, I'd just like to share a little bit about something I felt the Lord was showing me for this year. And
okay.
I won't go into the whole thing, but this was January 1st. I had rushed to help my aunt, pardon me, who I had heard. And I ask you to excuse me. I've had a cold, so I'm a little bit hoarse. But I had run to help my aunt who had fallen, and we thought she'd broken her hip. And so I ended up spending most of the day with her, and I really wanted to just get before the Lord. So when I came home, it was afternoon by the time I got back. And, I just said, I don't know, Lord, what do you want to show me? And I thought, you know, I might spend a little bit of time and just prepare for the week. And anyway, it ended up going into hours of him just opening up my heart to see what he wanted to do in my life and also with the body. And one of the things I heard, now I had actually told people in our group probably a couple months before I started talking about the word restoration. That's what I kept hearing from the Lord, that he wanted to restore people, that especially in our group, we're, you know, a group of many people who have just been ravaged by the enemy. They've been stripped of their normal, you know, way of living, their credibility, you know, anybody that is familiar with the concept of targeting, it's a very complicated, complex, diabolical program. Okay, but I believe that everything that the enemy intends for evil, God wants to turn it around for our good. So we focus on overcoming. Anyway, but I had this strong sense he was saying, I want to restore my people. And one of the things he told me is that their individual lives needed to be restored before they could properly be prepared to shine, you know, with his glory. And, you know, a lot of us have heard that God wants to pour out his glory on the earth and that he, you know, wants to do a lot of signs, wonders, miracles, bring in the final harvest. We've heard that. But what he showed me is that before he can really bring restoration, that there has to be a transformation that takes place. And this is when he, you know, really began to open up to me what he meant by transformation. And I just want to mention, there's a scripture, it says, well, what the Lord showed me is he said, I cannot put new wine into old wineskins. And I'm sure there are, you know, various meanings of that scripture when Jesus said that. But what it meant to me as the Lord was speaking to me, and I don't mean audibly, I mean speaking to my heart, he was saying, I need my people to think differently. I need them, and he used the scripture specifically, Romans 12:2, where it says, be transformed. It says, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And, you know, that word, in case anybody doesn't know, the word transform is from the Greek word. Let me see. It's metamorpho. And what it means is to literally transfigure. Transform, transfigure. It means to change after being with someone. Okay, so it means, let's see, what else? Well, if you remember this word, okay, so it means to transform or transfigure. And remember, Yeshua, when he was on Mount Hermon, he transfigured. And so that kind of gave me a clue as I was looking. I love to do word studies. You know, so I go to Bible Hub a lot and look up the in the Strong's Concordance and, you know, other places what the meanings of these individual words are. So that word metamorphosis, it really does mean to change from one type of one position or state of being to another, like a a caterpillar to a butterfly. And so he was showing me, I need more transformation. He revealed to me, he said, if I bring restoration, and by restoration, I mean the heart of God, and I could just feel it. I could feel the ache in him. Like, I am so grieved over what the enemy is doing to my people. You know, like he was just sick at heart at seeing the, you know, the pain people are in, the mental anguish. The, you know, all the attacks with mind control. And this technology is real, where, you know, people are made to feel full of sorrow and discouragement and just bombarded with negative thoughts and negative things happening in their circumstances. And so I could really feel the Lord's passionate desire to turn these things around and to start putting people's lives back together financially, physically, you know, in every way, their credibility, the dreams. He wants to restore dreams that people have, things they've been called to do. And incidentally, you know, this is one of Satan's, it's one of his greatest passions. I'll put it this way. He wants to destroy the destiny of God's people individually in our lives so that we can never move into what we're called to do. And anyway, but so the Lord was showing me, I really want to change things, but if there's not a transformation in my people, enough transformation, I'm not saying we have to be perfect because this is a, you know, this is a process and it actually goes on throughout our lives. But we need to get on that road because the enemy will just come and steal again. And so he was showing me, first of all, for me personally, you know, I went through Hurricane Ian and initially, I thought, well, you're just, I thought he was just speaking to me about restoration. And then he opened it up and said, no, this is what I want for my body. And especially those who are most broken right now and have been, you know, particularly stricken by the enemy and brought down. Anyway, so, so in this process of thinking through, okay, you want us transformed. And that scripture says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And, the renewing, the word renew, it's from a Greek word, anakenosis, and that's probably not the exact pronunciation, but it means renewal. It means a renewal of or change of heart and life. And it also means a completing process. It's from the word kaino, which means to make fresh and new. So it means a new development, and it's achieved by God's power. And now, if I go a little further, it actually means renovation, complete change for the better. So, you know, we are called God's houses, his building, his temple. We know that. And so he wants to renovate our temple. And so he was just showing me that, in fact, at first I thought, well, you're talking about the word, you know, because I'm always really focusing on getting to know God through the word. And I forget that sometimes that I just take worship for granted because I'm a passionate worshiper and it's just my thing. And he said, no, you've got to bring this out, that God really wants to open our hearts and minds to the value. He wants us to have a fresh new awakening of the value of his word and the value of spending time in his presence, which is worship. And, you know, he showed me that the depth of our worship, and I'm going to explain what worship is, but our worship or our adoration of him, our appreciation of him increases the more we know about him. And I call this loving intelligently. You know, I used to just get a feel good when I was in God's presence, and I thought, oh, this is so wonderful being in your presence, Lord. I don't need anything else. But the truth is, the more you get into his word and you learn about what Yeshua did for us and what it means to our lives and that we have been called into this glorious family, into a royal family. And he wants us to be aware of kingdom culture. He wants us to get really comfortable moving in the kingdom. And so, you know, in order to walk as kingdom citizens and to be renewed, well, to be transformed, we know that we have to have this renewal in our mind and in our spirit. And, you know, I want to bring out a scripture. It says, but a time, this is in John 4, starting in verse 23. It says, but a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, so he's saying, look, worship is not a religious activity. And, you know, you mentioned something that made me think of this earlier, Linda. You know, when you talked about what a gatekeeper is, okay, a gate is the door to a royal palace or dynasty, you know. So it's the first opening. And these gates, God wants us to open these gates of our heart to him so that he can really come in and bring about this transformation. And so he's wanting us to learn not just how to have, you know, head knowledge about him. Knowledge is good, and knowledge is important, knowledge of God. But then we need to combine that with the actual encountering of his presence. So I'm going to lead into worship with that. So, you know, you might wonder, well, what does it mean to worship God? And Psalm 96, verse 9 is a scripture that says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Okay, so when we think about what does it mean to worship, worship is, I believe, it starts with an attitude of the heart. And like I said, depending on your depth of knowledge of Yeshua, what he's done for you and what the Father's done, that's going to really enhance your worship. Because, you know, like I said, worship is not, although sometimes we start worshiping God just as a matter of flesh. You know, we may not feel like worshiping, but we say, I'm going to take time to worship. And so we step in. So that's okay. But if we're just going through the motions and we don't really engage with our heart, then we are missing what worship is all about. Okay, so it starts with an attitude of the heart. And the word says, in Matthew 5, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I truly believe that one of the reasons that God wants to encourage us in really engaging in worship, and especially this year, this is part of our transformation process, is because he wants to reveal himself. He wants to show himself powerful on our behalf. And a lot of times people, they think, well, I can worship God in my thoughts. And I do want to say, okay, I got to back up a minute. Worship is really, it is not just when we pull aside and say, well, I'm going to spend some time before the Lord singing or whatever. Okay, a lot of people, we think of worship as involving music. But the root of worship is to dedicate, it's to live every moment of your life in obedience to him, seeking his face,
yes,
engaging him in what you do, you know, loving him from your heart. And so worship is really living in an attitude of reverence and adoration of our Creator. Now, if you look at what the actual meaning of the word worship, and I'm going to give it to you here in the Hebrew, it's shaka, and it means to bow down, to bow yourself down, to crouch, to fall down flat, to humbly beseech, to do reverence, okay, to depress, prostrate in homage to royalty or to God. Okay, so it's to make to stoop. Okay, let's see, to get down on your knees, that can be an act of worship. And it also means, now in the Greek when it uses the term worship, which I love this, it means to kiss. So it can mean to kiss the ground when prostrating before a superior. Let's see, to adore on one's knees. Let's see here. And okay, one meaning of the word, when it mentions to kiss, it means like a dog licking his master's hands. So it's some extreme adoration, okay? And a lot of people, you know, when you're going through really hard times, people think, well, I just don't have that attitude towards God. I can't enter into worship because I don't feel that way. Well, sometimes we have to back up. We have to back up and say, okay, what would put me in the frame of mind that I am in that attitude where I just want to pour out my heart to worship him? And this is why, and this is going to go back to the gate thing. In the scriptures, there's a particular scripture that says, I'm trying to find it here. It's it's Psalm 100, and it says, I will enter his gate with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Okay, so if we want to come in the gates of God, the gates of our Father, we want to come into the gates of, you want to come before his throne, because see, that's really what worship is about, coming before God's throne. And this is what he wants. He, remember, in it says, forget what where that's located, but it says that we can now come boldly before the throne of grace because of,
yes,
what Yeshua did. We couldn't before. Because of his blood sacrifice, we've been made clean, and as we are seeking to know God, we have this privilege. This is one of the greatest things that Yeshua did, was open up the gate. In fact, he is the door to the Father. So now, even though we are just these little earthen vessels made of clay, we can come before our Creator. And so it's really, really important to have the, you know, there's a protocol. There's an actual protocol to come before God in worship. And it says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now, thanksgiving, you know, when, I remember when my mom first taught me the most wonderful lesson about Thanksgiving. I was complaining to her about all the things going wrong in my life. And my mother had really battled with depression in the earlier years of her walk. And one of the things she taught me, as the Holy Spirit had taught her, was to what she called consider the alternative. And so when she was battling with depression, discouragement, you know, this isn't right, Lord, and this prayer hasn't been answered, and I'm struggling, I'm suffering. The Holy Spirit taught her to consider where she could be, to look at people that were in a worse position than her. And my mom would go into these extreme declarations of thanksgiving, saying, I thank you, Father, I'm not in a wheelchair. I thank you that I have my two hands, my two arms and my limbs, and I thank you that I have breath in me. I thank you that I can see. I'm not blind. I'm not deaf. I can hear. And she would just allow the consideration of where she could be to move her into thanksgiving. And, you know, this, when you've got, especially if you're going through really hard times and you're not seeing God's hand move, this is one of the most powerful ways to transform your state of mind, by looking at every little thing you have to be thankful for. And my mom would even, I mean, we used to argue about this. Now I think she was right. But she would even thank God for the worst situation. And I'd say, how can you do that? And she said, well, it says to give thanks in all things, because everything works together for the good of those who love God. And so, and you know, this is another part of this thing about being transformed. You see, God wants us to change our thinking, where instead of looking at everything in the world, I mean, we're in a time of chaos, confusion, darkness, and technology is literally trying to overtake our lives. And if we don't keep our eyes fixed on God and on His Word, if we don't think like He tells us to think, we're going to get just bowled over. We're going to be consumed with the, you know, just the horrors of things happening around us. The suicide rate is off the charts. There's people are struggling. You know, people are dying. There's a real epidemic of depression right now. And, of course, we have all the physical things that are happening with, you know, electromagnetic fields. And, I mean, that's a whole nother – we could just go on and on. We have the threats and rumors of war. Anyway, so this is one of the things the Lord was showing me, is even in the midst of all this chaos, God wants to restore His people, and so that we can carry His glory, so that we can be a light in a dark, dark world. Okay, so when we start thinking like the Word tells us to think, and He tells us to give thanks in all things, then we've got to start doing that. But the way you, I want to go back to this idea of worship. So if you want to enter the gates of God's throne room, you're going to, the perfect way to start is with thanksgiving. Thank you, Father, that you've brought me through to this day. Thank you for the love you have shown me. Thank you for the times you've saved my life when I could have died. Thank you that I have food to eat today. And, you know, I'm just giving examples. This is so powerful. And if you're struggling with depression, it will drive depression away. And, you know, in Psalm 61, I think it is, this was a prophetic psalm about Yeshua. And it's Isaiah. Isaiah 61. I don't know if I said that right. But it's, and then Jesus said it in Luke. It says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Okay? So now when we're talking about worship, there's praise and then there's worship. And what's really amazing is the word praise actually means to shine. And I'm going to just give you that word here, the word praise. Okay, so the word praise is tehillah. And that's the Hebrew word, and that would be like a song of praise. And so that means to offer. It doesn't really say much in this particular thing, but it does give, it just says song of praise or praise. And then when you go back to the Hebrew, the root meaning of the word, it's halal, and or halal, I might not be saying it right, but it means to make a boast of, to celebrate, to commend, to even act foolishly, to give glory, to give light. It means to be clear. It means to shine, okay? It means to make a show to rave, to celebrate. Let's see. Did that give glory? It even, get this, it means to marry, okay, to give renown to. But here's what I want to really emphasize. Halal is from the word. I mean, the root meaning of it is to shine, and it means to break through. So when you enter his courts, or I'm sorry, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, which is what we're talking about here, where you're making a boast of God and his goodness. You're celebrating who he is. When you do that, you are actually, you shine in such a way that you become light. You become light. And
hallelujah.
Remember when Jesus, and that, remember, the darkness cannot comprehend the light. And so when you start giving thanksgiving to God, offering thanksgiving for any little thing you can think of, and you begin to praise him, to boast about, look what my God has done. You have saved me from my enemies. And even though I'm in the midst of trouble, you have made promises to me that I'm going to break through. And you see, as you declare your praises to God, you are actually piercing the darkness with your praise. You are actually breaking through the darkness while you're doing that. Okay, so praise is extremely powerful. And so you're actually, you're releasing light until you become light. And we want, I believe, the goal of for us as believers is to get to the place where we actually shine, where we shine and transfigure into beings of light. You know, where we are brilliantly shining. And in Isaiah 60, it's one of my favorite scriptures, it says, arise, shine. Arise means to come up from a place of despair and hopelessness and sorrow and weakness. Arise, arise, shine. So shine as in praise. Give your praise and glory to God. Let his light pierce the darkness around you. And then it says, for the glory of the Lord has come and is risen upon you. Okay, God's glory is, it's the Hebrew word kavod, and it means the weightiness of his presence. Weighty, okay? So, and we're not talking about a little glimpse, like, oh, I had a little goosebump there. We're talking about the weightiness of God's presence. And, of course, God is. And so he is wanting his light to be revealed and to shine forth through us. And that's a glorious thing. And it says, behold, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness, the people, which we're seeing that in our time. But the glory of the Lord shall arise upon you. So you see, we've got a strong motivation to really learn and engage in worship because it leads to breakthrough, okay? You're breaking through the darkness and you're coming into the light. Okay, now I want to talk a little bit about okay, so there's another scripture I want to mention here. Okay, there's a link between joy and praise. Okay, so in his presence, this is Psalm 16:11. It says, in his presence is fullness of joy. Okay, now this is another joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, if you're feeling weak, if you feel like I don't have the energy to worship God, I don't have the energy to even make coffee this morning, I don't have the energy to face the day, I don't have the energy to take on, you know, the things I need to do. Okay, then here's what you need. Here's all the more reason you need to engage in worship. Because when you start worshiping God, God inhabits the praises of his people. And some translations say he is enthroned on the praises of his people. So when we start praising God and we start glorifying him, we start thanking him, looking And I believe Thanksgiving is the way to enter into praise, because you see the progression here is you start by just thinking through all you have to be thankful for, all that God has done. And then as you start meditating on the things he's done, then you begin to actually feel, it begins to well up in you, the gratitude. And so then you begin to boast in the Lord. Thank you. I see what you're doing. I see that the things you brought me through. Okay, so now you're entering into praise, and his presence, he inhabits those praises that you're offering to him. Okay, and as he's inhabiting those praises, what you'll find, and I see this all the time, I literally function because of praise and worship. I mean, there are days
My
that
God,
I could not
hallelujah.
Do what I do except I spend time in praise and worship. Because here's what another thing that happens when you worship God, when you take, well, let's just stay with praise. When you take time to praise him and celebrate his goodness. And, you know, we think about birthdays. If you have a birthday party for someone, you're honoring them. You're celebrating that they're alive another year. And you're expressing your appreciation for them. Okay, so it's similar to that. When we praise God, we're expressing our appreciation that he exists in our lives. We're thanking him for what Yeshua did for us. Thank you for your blood that was shed for me. Because without you, I would be doomed. And we need to know that. Without
yes.
Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, we can't even come before the Father. So that's one reason. I'm so glad,
Hallelujah.
Linda, you had to do communion, because I start my day with communion. Because it's a reminder to me that it was the blood. It was the blood that made a way for me. And without the blood, I'm nothing. I can do nothing. I'm just, you know, a clay pot. But because of the blood, because we are born from above now, we're not just, you know, people. We're not just flesh and blood. In fact, the Bible calls us, this is another thing that has to do with transformation, it calls us a new creation. You know, that's a
yes.
new, that's a new being, something that did not exist before. That's what that word means. If you really go into the root of the word, it means something that was created from nothing. Well, it was from God, but it doesn't. Now, you may look the same, but you are a totally different being because you have been born of the Spirit. And so in order for us to start actually seeing the manifestation of being a new creation, we just have to engage with the Father and with his promises and his truth in such a way that it starts manifesting, you know, in our lives. Because he wants us to be totally, he wants to transform everything and to restore. He's a God of restoration. Okay, so so back to our original scripture. So when you enter in the gates with thanksgiving and into the courts with praise, okay, and in his presence, which comes through your praises, there's joy. So you begin to
yes.
sense the joy of being with him and what he's done. And that joy strengthens you for what you have to face. And let's see, there's another scripture I wanted to bring out. Let me see. Oh, the point I wanted to make was, okay, when you're coming through his courts, okay, the court is that outer area before you come into the Holy of Holies. So the outer court is a place, you're entering his courts with praise. Okay, remember, God is a God of justice. He's a God of righteousness. The Bible says that righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And you may be in a place in your life where you are desperate for justice. Okay, I need justice. I've prayed that many times. But I want to tell you, one of the fastest ways to get justice in your life is to be a worshiper, to engage in worship. Because when you're in praise, and then, you know, worship is where we're going even further, deeper into the throne room of God. But when you enter his courts, it doesn't just mean the outer court. I believe that also means his judicial system. You know, it says that we are citizens of the kingdom, if we've been born again. And a kingdom is a government, okay? And God has a government that he longs to have operating in each of our lives. He doesn't like injustice. In fact, it says he hates oppression. He hates it when the thieves rob the poor and oppress the widows and, you know, anyone they oppress. God literally hates oppression and violence, okay? And so he longs to show himself strong on our behalf and to actually rise up as the God of justice. And another thing about our Father is his name is El Elyon, one of my favorite names for the Father, for our Creator. It means the Most High God. It means the Supreme Judge, the Supreme Judge. Okay, so this is why I have found personally that, I mean, there's several ways to do spiritual warfare and to actually see the justice of God come on the scene in your life. But one of the most powerful ways is when you engage in worship, because the Father, then he goes and he starts fighting your battle for you, and he brings justice in your situation. And I've seen this happen many times. And remember, I want to give an example. Many of you probably have heard the story of Jehoshaphat. And, you know, that was a story where Jehoshaphat was a king of Israel. And he was, I'm just trying to find it here so I can share a little bit of it. He had some wayward times. He was wayward in his life for a period. But then he started to get on track spiritually, and just like so many of us, when we start really pursuing God, here comes the enemy. And I will tell you, I don't care if you are directly targeted by the enemy, like with really obvious things, or if you're just going through horrendous trials, if you love Yeshua, if you are pursuing the Father, and especially if you're pursuing him with all your heart, you are going to be targeted by the enemy. This is just the way it is, because the devil is on a mission to put out the light of God in this world. And he wants to stifle you. He wants to suppress you, to stop you from operating in your gifts and calling. He wants to silence your voice if he can. And that's one reason why he will bring all these horrific circumstances to try to get our eyes off of the Lord and onto him. And if we focus too long on him, we will be sucked under. Okay, but this is why you have to keep, just like Jesus said to Peter, Peter, why did you doubt? Because Peter got his eyes on the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. So we must keep our eyes fixed on the Father, fixed on Yeshua, in order to walk on the water. And that's what we're being called to do in these days. But so with Jehoshaphat, he encountered the Amorites and the, here it is. Okay, so if you don't mind, Linda, I'll just read a little bit of this. So
sure.
I'm in Chronicles, and it says, the armies of the Moabites, the Ammonites, some of the Mennonites, they declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told him, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. And they are already at Hazazon Tamar. Oh my gosh, another name for En-Gedi. Okay, so King Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news. He begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the courtyard of the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of this earth. You are powerful and mighty. You see how he's worshiping the Lord? He's declaring God's praise. Okay, no one can stand against you, he says. Oh, our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people, Israel, arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. And, okay, this is me speaking, incidentally. Just a little note here. You see how he's reminding God of his power, his might, what he's done in the past. This is another clue when it comes to praising God. He loves to be reminded of how he came through in our lives before. Okay, Lord, you brought me through that thing. You know, I went through 10 years ago when I didn't think I was going to live. And then you brought me through the hurricane. And then you brought me through, do you see what I'm saying? Okay, so he's talking to God about all he's done. So he says, we can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear and rescue us. Okay, now in this statement, Jehoshaphat is saying he's exercising his faith. He is declaring that if we cry, that, you know, he's saying, we as a people are crying out to you, Lord, and we know that you will hear us and you will save and rescue us. Okay, and then he says, now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Okay, and I just want to stop here a second. You see, this is what the devil is doing in our time. We as believers have an inheritance, and he is desperately trying to steal the inheritance of the children of God. You know, we as believers, and that's a whole other subject, what we have is an inheritance, because it's big, it's powerful. And when you start learning what your inheritance is, you don't want the devil to steal it. Okay, so then he says in verse 12, oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of them standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, and he was a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. Hard to say. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions. Then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Okay, then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. See, now he's in an attitude of worship. Okay, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites with the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. You see, he's telling them, you must believe. You know, exercise our faith. We have to believe in what God says. Okay, so he's saying, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. In other words, if you don't believe, you're not going to succeed. So you see, this was really important. Okay. After consulting the people, the king, get this, appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. This is a very strange battle strategy. Singing to the Lord and praising his holy splendor. This is what they say.
Hallelujah.
Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon, they turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, jewelry, other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered in the valley of Baruch, or blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. Then all the men returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, and trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God, the fear of the Lord came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. So, you know, you see, this is what happens when we worship the Lord. He literally fights the battle for us. And I'm not saying that we don't have to fight the good fight of faith, because we do. But you see, this is a powerful weapon of warfare. And there's many things that occur when we worship. First and foremost, we're expressing our love to God. And, you know, he says in the first commandment, the first commandment, Jesus said, the whole law hangs on two commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So you see, part of loving God is we can't just say, well, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Okay, what does that mean? It means we have to intelligently think through what he's done for us, what he's promised us, what Yeshua's blood, what it cost him, and what it means to us. What does it mean to be able to come before his presence, into his throne room? You know, you see what I'm saying? We have to love him with reasons. And but I just wanted to specifically read this about what happened with Jehoshaphat, because, you know, this is a form of warfare. And also another example of doing warfare by loving God, by expressing your love in worship, is in Psalm 91. I think it might be verse 14, but it's where David said, God is speaking to him, because there's different, it's a dialogue going on in Psalm 91. And God says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. So if you Amen. Want to be delivered from your enemies, you come into a deeper, ask the Holy Spirit to give you a deeper love relationship for your Creator, for your Father, and for Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And see, God wants us to really engage with the Godhead, because Jesus said that we don't just have the Holy Spirit living in us. Now, this is a mystery that I can't say I have full understanding or revelation of, but in John 17, Jesus said, Father, this is right before he died. And I can just, you know, feel the passion when I read that. He said, Father, I pray that they would be one as we are one. He's talking about his disciples and all of us, because we're disciples. Mm-hmm. That they would be one as we are one, thou in me and I in them. And so you see, he's saying right there, Yeshua lives in us, his spirit is in us, and the Father is in him. So you have the Godhead, actually, I call it Elohim. Elohim is the plural form of God, and they live in us. And we know that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has come to live in us. And if you, there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, we know that that's the power. That's the Holy Spirit is our teacher, our instructor. He's the one who comforts us. And he really, in my opinion, he is the ultimate teacher of how to worship God. So I just want to stop here a minute and just ask you, Linda, if there's anything you want to say or share here.
No, I'm just gleaning from what you said, and I'm just getting revelation you know,
Hallelujah.
In my situation, how to just do exactly that, you know, and how to maintain it, you know, because
yes.
the warfare can get so heavy and strong
yes.
that if we're not girded up and just ready, because the enemy likes to catch us off guard. And usually
yes.
it when you're at your job, you're off guard. You're not
uh-huh.
focused on the person in the office that the devil's going to use. Or,
right.
you know, you go into work with your mind on him, and you're so focused on going through the day, accomplishing what you're there for to accomplish. Meanwhile, the devil's using this one and that one
yes.
and this teacher and that kid and that student. And, you know, and it comes at you when you least expect it.
Yes.
And it's not like you're not like you can just go into a worship right then or a praise.
Right.
So
right.
I'm just gleaning from what you say, because as a targeted individual, it's a daily attacks, daily
yes.
plots, daily
That's right.
plans. Of the enemy. And so the very ones that smile in your face are the ones that can't wait to stab you in your back. And
yeah.
so these are, and as you're talking, I'm like growing. I can feel like, okay, this is how I'm going to do this. This is how I'm going to
yeah.
do this now, you know, so.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing it, you know, when you talked about shine and light and what worship and praise produces. Oh my gosh, you know, it's phenomenal how God wants to go before us and make every crooked
yes.
way straight, you know,
yes.
and how he's our rear guard. And so I'm just getting a revelation from a lot of things that you're saying. I'm loving it.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, you just reminded me in listening to you, Linda, that we could look at the life of David, because, you know, David was known as the man after God's own heart. And we know Yeshua is in the line of David. And we,
mm-hmm.
you know, we know that, David was, talk about being targeted by the enemy. He was heavily targeted. And I've looked at the life of David a lot, and he's just one of my favorite. I mean, next to Yeshua, I think I've probably studied his life more than any others and sought the Lord about what was it that was so special about him. And, you know, I remember one time in particular, I said, you know, Lord, why... What made him a good king? What made him what made him experience your favor the way he did? And you know what? He took me back, Linda, to, pardon me, he took me back to picturing David in the shepherds, I mean, as a shepherd in the fields. And I started picturing David when he was all alone, because, you know, a shepherd's life can be kind of lonely. And David was a young shepherd. He was the youngest in his family. And there's some speculation that David was kind of an outcast in his family. And we remember when Samuel came to anoint the man who was going to be the next king, Jesse, David's father, didn't even invite him in. So that's kind of unusual, because, you know, the prophet
yeah.
Samuel said, I need every one of your sons here, because one of them's going to be king. And so that gives us a little bit of indication that David was not considered as a possibility. Okay, so it could have been for his age, or it could have been for some other reason. But so often what I have seen in the way the Lord operates is, what's that scripture? What is highly detestable among men is exalted in God's eyes. You know, the foolishness of men is wisdom to God. And so God, the Father, he had chosen David. And what the Lord showed me is he said, what made him a great king was his heart of worship. When he was out there all by himself and there was nobody, he would worship me. It was his heart. David was known as the man after God's own heart. And you see, he wouldn't stop. David had such a determination to know God's heart. He wanted it more than anything else in his life. He wanted to be in the chambers of God's heart. And see, I truly believe that before we were ever brought to this earth, and I'm thinking about Psalm 139, you know, it says before any of our days came to be, that God had all of our days written in a book, that he, you know, he knew all about us. He knew us before the foundation of the world. So I believe that we were a thought in God's heart before we ever appeared, you know, before we were ever formed in our mother's womb. So David was seeking that place of original creative protection where he was from the beginning. See, we were in God. We were birthed from him. He brought us into this world. And so David was saying, I am just so bold and brazen that I dare to believe I can know my creator. You know, and so he would press in and he would seek God and he would worship him in the darkest times. And I believe that's why David was so, well, we know he wasn't afraid of Goliath because he said, hey, I've slain a lion and a bear. I'm not afraid of you uncircumcised Philistine. You're nothing.
Hallelujah.
And I believe, and I believe it was because of the experiences he had with God in total solitude. And, you know, he also, the Lord showed me that in the shepherd fields, he was very protective of the sheep. He, in times of worship, I believe that he learned who his father was. He got acquainted with the heart of God because I'm not sure where the scripture is, but there's a scripture that says as we behold him, we become like him. And so this is another thing worship does. When we spend time in his presence, and you know, Linda, you're right. When you're in the midst of situation, like with other people, we can't steal away and worship. But what we can do is we can, even just for a moment, turn our hearts and minds back to God, you know, just to turn towards him. Okay, so David, I believe as he sought the Lord's heart, he became, you know, when he could, in those alone times, he was absorbing the nature of the Father into him.
That's good.
And so,
that's good.
Yeah. And that's one of the most valuable things that happens when we worship is you begin to think like God thinks. You literally absorb. In his light, you absorb that light. And then when you're faced, I had a situation, I'll just say this, when you're faced with a time when you're caught off guard and somebody says or does something, I have found it absolutely amazing that if I've been in pretty regular communion with God, the old me doesn't rise up or rear up to react, but rather I'm kept in peace. I'm kept in a state of peace. And I had a situation one time where I was having dinner with a relative. We were waiting for others to join us, and I won't go into all the details, but I said something that triggered anger in him, and it stunned me because I didn't expect to, you know, get an angry response. It was a pretty benign statement. I had asked him if he'd watch a couple of videos about something, and he got so angry, he said, I'm going to throw my, you know, this beer across the restaurant here if you don't shut up, and you've caused all this trouble in our family. I was just like, oh, my. And, you know, this is an example, Linda, the old me, because I love my brother, we're close, but the old me would have reacted to him, and I would have said and done something and then had to go repent. But this mm-hmm. is one of the things the Lord showed me. He said, if you'll continue in worship, and when you can, set aside time. And about, I'd say about 4 years ago, the Lord instructed me. He said, as much as you can, I want you to take every day to spend a little bit of separated time with me in worship. And, you know, mm-hmm. the thing about worship that I want to point out that is different from being in prayer is, you know, in everything we do that involves the Lord is all very important. We need to be in the Word because that's where we're feeding our soul spiritual food, and we're taking in truth, and truth sets us free. Okay, it frees us from the lies of the enemy. When we're in prayer, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, in prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known and let them be known to God and with thanksgiving. Okay, so prayer is important. God wants us to make our requests to him. But when you worship, and this is unique this way, when he told me, the Holy Spirit instructed me, he said, I want you to get in the attitude that when you worship, you come not to ask for anything, not to request anything of me. I don't want you to worship thinking, well, I'm trying to gain some favor so that I can get a prayer answered. I have a lot of needs when he was telling me the importance of engaging in regular worship. But mm-hmm. I have learned that when I release, when I just set all those desires and necessities aside to just minister to the Lord, it is absolutely one of the most powerful ways to get your prayers answered. I mean, in fact,
yes.
God releases favor when we worship because we are saying, I am not considering myself here. I am only mm-hmm. here to minister love and adoration to you, Father. And, and that reminds me, I want to just mention, you know, some people say, well, I can worship the Lord in my thoughts. I don't need to engage in any outward demonstrations. And it's true. You know, we do, it's very important that we think in such a way that is glorifying to God. We know Yeshua talked about that. He said, how did he put it? He said, if you just think a thought of adultery, it's the same as committing it. If you think thoughts of anger, then it's like committing murder. Okay, so our thoughts are very, very important. And the same with mm-hmm. if we think thoughts of, I can't talk to you right now, but I'm just thinking about praising you and you're good to me. You're going to take care of the situation. I'm putting this in your hands. Okay, thoughts are really important. But I want to just mention some things about why taking the time for an outward expression of worship is really, really important. Okay, and let's see. I'm just going through some notes that I don't want to forget. Okay, one of the things that happens, here's how the Holy Spirit directed me. He reminded me, as I was thinking about worship and doing, being with you tonight, he reminded me of Genesis 1. You know, when God did anything in the Bible, I mean, many things, I won't say everything that he spoke first, but most significant things where he really wanted to make a point to the people, pay attention to this, he would speak first. He uttered his voice. And, in Genesis 1, it says, and in the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. It says he hovered over the world was without form and void, and he brooded over the darkness, and he said, let there be light. And then he said, let the stars in the firmament. So you see, God speaks. He speaks, and he likes for us to speak because there's something
yes.
very significant, yeah, when you speak. And see, this also applies to the conversation that we have on a daily basis. And one of my favorite scriptures is, I don't know if I can remember it. It's in the Psalms, and it says, to him who offers thank offerings and glorifies me. Oh my, I'm really butchering it. It's, he who offers thank offerings, that's how it goes. He who offers thank offerings glorifies me, and to him who orders his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Okay, so it's not, so everything is initially rooted in our heart, and heart, the Greek word for heart is cardia, and it means the seat of our affections, what we love to do, who we really are. You know, not just what we think in our mind intellectually, but who, what we really, where our passions are. Okay, so what we worship comes from the heart. Everything starts with the heart. And when you speak, you know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So how we speak in a day really matters, because if we, in James, you know, it says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And this was one of the hardest lessons I've, but one of the most important that the Holy Spirit has taught me, especially regarding targeting. And when you're in the midst of tribulation, okay, when we are trying to change our way of thinking that God is faithful, my eyes are fixed on you, Jesus. All I care about is what your word says. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to give praise and thanksgiving. Okay, when you're trying to train your mind, this is part of the transformation. This is the renewing of our mind. When we're trying to train our minds to think like God thinks, then you have to be watchful and very aware of when you have those negative thoughts. Because if while you're studying the word, you're saying, oh, thank you, Lord. I see you have promised me deliverance from my enemies over and over in the word. And then you get up and you go to embark on a task and you get hit with a pain or something breaks that shouldn't be broken. And you, nothing's ever going to change. And maybe you start speaking that way. And things are falling apart, and people aren't treating me right, and this is so unfair. Okay, see, that is where we can really get into trouble, because you can cancel your words. See, your words actually shape your future, and it starts with what's in the heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you see, our words, if our heart's pure and we're speaking words of faith and trusting God and we're thanking him and worshiping even while we're just going about our day, then when things go wrong, you're not going to be as apt to fall apart or get discouraged, because you have put your mind and heart in the attitude, you're training yourself. Rely on what God says. I'll turn everything around. You know, all things work together for the good, even the bad stuff. Okay, so this is why it's really important, and I personally believe that worship enhances, it helps us get in the groove, so to speak, you know, of thinking along these lines that, hey, my life needs to be an act of worship to God. I don't want to do anything, or I don't want to utter words that are going to cut off his presence. See, he's drawn by our words. This another scripture, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And it's that way in worship, and it's that way in our daily life. As we speak words of faith and our declaration of God's faithfulness to answer our prayers, to be with us in trouble, to be an enemy to our enemies, you know, these are promises he makes. And so as we focused on declaring these things, then they actually come to pass. Because circumstances respond to the voice of God. And see, when we're speaking his words and his truth, it's like God speaking. And circumstances bow. They surrender. They change. So it's really important. Wanted to say, not only the words we speak, but actually making a sound, okay? Because people have told me, well, I don't need to pray. I don't need to worship out loud. I can worship. And you can. You can worship in your thoughts. You can worship and you can give thanks in your thoughts. I think, you know, a lot of times if I am tired and I'm just, you know, it's time to go to bed, as I'm resting, I'll just think through the things God did and I'll be thankful. And all of that's really good. But I want to go into back to this thing of sound. Sound is very, very important because okay. So sound is something, like we said, God used sound when he created the earth, or when he created the moon and the stars and, you know, the beasts of the field, when he created Adam and Eve. He spoke everything. Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would speak to this mountain and it would be removed. Okay, so interesting. He said we needed to speak. Okay, so I'm going to look at, going to go back to Psalm 100, the Psalm of Praise. So it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Oh, shout for joy, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Okay? Know that the Lord, he is God, and that it is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And then that's where the next verse is, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And it says to bless his name. But interesting that verse 1, it says make a joyful noise.
Yes.
Okay? Not just thinking in your mind. Make a joyful noise. Shout for joy. And then it says, come before his presence with singing. Okay? And so a lot of times people, you know, they, especially in the targeting program, we know that, the truth be known, I believe that we're just about everybody is under surveillance. And so I remember when I first knew about this, Linda, I thought, I can't pray out loud. I can't sing out loud.
Yeah.
What am I going to do now?
Me too. I thought about that too.
Yes. And as I sought the Lord, he said, I want you to live out loud. I want
yes.
you to never be afraid to declare who I am. Because remember, he said, if you confess me before men, I will confess
yes.
you before the Father.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, so, yeah. So making a noise is actually really important to God. And, you know, if we think back to one of the best examples of this, it's Jericho, the walls of Jericho. And I won't read that whole thing, but remember, God gave instruction to Joshua what to do
yeah.
in those, in order to take that city of Jericho. And of course,
we got about
you know,
a minute.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh. Okay. So the walls of Jericho came down because the frequency, the sound of praise and the shofar blowing literally, remember they went around the city seven times and then they mm-hmm. declared shouts of praise to God. And that the frequency, the sound waves that were released through their praise literally broke down the walls. They crumbled. And see, it's the same with our enemies. When we shout in triumph and we shout in joy, there is a frequency because those waves are powerful. They are literally waves, sound waves that move in the atmosphere and they tear down strongholds. So this is one of the biggest reasons why we need to sing to the Lord and we need to sing a new song. And that new song means a song of, just real quick, I know I'm wrapping up here. It means, a new song means to renew or repair. It means to restore. So when you sing a new song of, and this can be spontaneous, you don't have to sing a song that everybody knows. You just sing a new song to the Lord, whatever comes to your mind. And as you start singing out your praises, you defeat the enemy. You tear down his structures in the spirit realm and in the electromagnetic fields and in the atmosphere. And you are literally piercing the dark with God's light in you. You are breaking through and it destroys the enemy's power. And so I just want to thank you, Linda, for having me on. I want to encourage everybody that your worship is powerful. It's a form of warfare that stops the enemy. It brings justice in God's court. And he wants us to really prevail this year in victory. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for having
me. Hallelujah. And another thing about it is, with the targeting and all the surveillancing, when you pray in the Holy Ghost,
yes,
you can sing in the Holy Ghost. Nobody,
yes,
nobody, nobody, nobody can interpret that but God.
That's right.
I used to say, yeah, Lord, with all this surveillance, I don't have a secret closet anymore.
Yeah.
They have taken my secret closet. And the Lord said, just pray to me and sing to me in another tongue.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And they will not be able to understand what you're saying, and they won't be able to even listen. It will torment their ears.
That's right.
So I give God praise. Hallelujah. And
yes,
at,
and Linda,
at,
oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm really excited.
No, you.
Because I completely forgot to bring that up, but that is so important because, you know, when we pray or sing in our prayer language, the Spirit within us is praying the perfect prayer to the Father. It's perfect praise.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's perfect, and it's exactly what we need. So I just wanted to point that out, that there's so many benefits to praying in the Spirit, but I agree with you 100%.
Mm-hmm.
That's pure worship, and the enemy doesn't know what we're,
yes,
what we're saying. What we're,
yes. Yes. I'm glad you brought up David. I want to end the broadcast on this. On January 19th, I'm having Pastor Prophet Bill Jenkins. I always have him in the beginning of the year because every year since I think 2015, he has written a book called The Prophetic Almanac and the forecast for that particular year. So he'll be on January 19th to give us the forecast for 2023. And in his book, if you have a Kindle, you can download it free. It's awesome. You can download it free on your Kindle. But he says that the word for 2023 is shepherd, and the animal for 2023 is sheep. So the word for 2023 is shepherd, and the animal for 2023 is sheep. And so we're going to find out why he on the broadcast, why he feels that, why he says that. Everything, he dives into the scriptures to find what he's looking for the forecast for that year. He'll minister to people that were born on the 23rd date of any month. And so I will be interviewing him, and I will be opening the line for callers that want to talk to him or question him or ask him for prayer. And he's powerful, very, very friendly, likable man. And I've had him on every year for the last at least 4 years. But I wanted to start out the year with worship because I am a worshiper as well, and I know that Julia is. And it's good to know who in your circle is a worshiper because you'll be able to tell when you hang around them. I have worshipers in my circle. And a lot of worshipers that were in my circle, God has taken them to worship him in heaven, in the third heaven. So I just
Hallelujah.
Give God all the glory, honor, and praise. I thank you, Julia. You did a powerful, powerful presentation and share your heart on who you are. Who you are.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And we don't take an offering. But the offering is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes, hallelujah.
How he offered his life. How Adonai Elohim sent his best offering that gave his life for us. I thank you for joining us. I'm going to close with this song that just draws me closer to the Lord. I want to share it with you. Julia, we've already set up for a broadcast in February, just her and I, on some specific things, and I will be letting you know about that. But I'm going to close out right now with this song, and then I want you to know that these final words are very crucial. Only what you do for Christ will last.
Amen. Thank you, Linda.
God bless you, girl.
God bless you. Thank you for having me. Great.
You're welcome. God bless you. Love you.
I love you, too. Thank you, everyone, for joining me.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm afraid.
Hallelujah.
You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You're
broadcast goes on demand within the next 15 minutes. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. And you'll find the website there. You can share it with someone else. It will be on demand tonight. I can't wait to listen to it again and be blessed. Thank you again, all those that have dialed in, called in, and those that have listened live on the website. God bless you. And remember, only what you do for Christ will last. I'm seer evangelist Linda Cazares. I speak blessings and victory and joy and peace in the name of Jesus in your hearing and over your life, your household, your children, and your grandchildren. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.